How is everybody tonight? Good. Amen. Amen. It's good to see each of you, and I'm thankful to be here tonight and looking forward to the lesson. Still kind of want to stay on the topic of prayer, maybe a little bit different from last week, but kind of wanted to stay there. But before we get started, I do have two announcements that I want to make before I forget. So I did bring two sign-up sheets, and I put those on the back. On the backboard back there, both are for meals. One is for Sister Linda Arnett, she's back home, and then also for Sister Betty. So I just want to make sure I announce that. And before I forget about it, there's times I'll put notes down on my sheet and I'll blow right by it, and either somebody else will remember it or will forget it. So I want to go ahead and take care of that first thing tonight. So if you will, let's be turning to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11, probably very common to a lot of people. And I'm sure I've preached along these lines before, but I think it's very, very special. And I was thinking about, I guess you recount things sometimes, and I remember there's times that we've been in prayer here, and I believe it's on a Wednesday night, a matter of fact, and Brother Dwight was called upon to pray, and I remember there were times that he would start out with this prayer before he would go into his prayer, or into praying, to further praying, I guess you could say. It's amazing how sometimes things, you recount things sometimes based off of study or what have you, memories that you have, but good and special memories, but I think this will help us tonight if we really take it to heart. This topic of prayer, Brother James said something last Wednesday night as we were leaving. We were talking about it, and he said, you know, I don't think we fully understand or know what kind of power that we have within us when it comes to prayer. I know it's not us. I know that. We can make good decisions, bad decisions, but there's so many things that are outside of our control that sometimes maybe we do try to lay hands on, but we run the risk of really messing it up sometimes. I mean, we can. This world has a way of getting us in the flesh and getting us in a place of feeling kind of beat down and worn down and what have you. And I promise you tonight, it's not supposed to be some kind of a sad type message or anything like that. But I'm telling you, I think it will help us in the long run if we really take this to heart. I don't know how else to say it. I think for many people, the last few months has kind of been like a grinder. You know, it's one of those things that I don't know personally if I've experienced the thing quite like it. I've experienced things, and you know, it doesn't have to be maybe a huge traumatic thing that can really hurt you or affect you. It might be a little thing or little things that continually happen that can really grind on you. I don't know a better word to use than grind, maybe, but it's kind of, have you ever been in a place that it doesn't seem like, it seems like no matter what you do, no matter how you approach it, it just seems like it just doesn't work out right? And I mean, you know, and what I'm saying is, you know, sometimes like a lot of us have many irons in the fire, very busy on a lot of different things. And so, you know, usually what will happen, you know, Brother Bill, maybe it's like this. You might have three or four irons over here and they're okay. And that there's that one iron that needs more attention, you know. And I think for the most part, I think we're okay as people. I think we're okay as Christians, maybe with dealing with things like that. But then what happens is when you got all those irons in the fire, and it seems most of them, if not all of them, need attention. And if you're not careful, you're spread thin. You're trying to give ample attention to each one. You want each one to be done right. But I tell you, this world has a way, the devil has a way of grinding on you so much that you lose patience with yourself and everybody else. And finally, you just start laying hands on things if you're not careful and starting to try to take things in your own hands and trying to start to do things in your own way. That's not to say, I don't want to say this, that's not to say that you and I as Christians are not supposed to handle things. We have business that we're supposed to handle. We have things that we're supposed to do, responsibilities. And I know that God holds us accountable, and He expects us to do what He would have us to do. But there's sometimes, church, I mean, follow me, there's sometimes I believe you can identify that you felt like you've done those things, but yet things are just seemingly not working right. That's a tough position to be in for anybody, is it not? Now, you get punched in the mouth and it happens and it's rectified or fixed pretty quick. You can kind of recoup that pretty quick. But when it's something that kind of goes on and on and on, and it's kind of like you don't really feel like you have an end in sight, that grind, that'll wear you down. That'll just, I don't care who you are. That'll just wear you down and beat you down. But I know this. I know that God does not want us to stay in a state like that. And I think that's why it is so important to us as Christians that He has given us this opportunity, this such a blessing to be able to pray to Him and ask Him for help. That might seem simple, but I've been there. I get discouraged about things. I'll pray about something, don't see any daylight on it, get discouraged and feel like I have to lay hands on it. Well, I mean, if nobody's going to do something, I'm going to do something. I've heard it, and maybe I've said it before, let's do something even if it's wrong. Well, there's a lot of things in life that are too important to mess up. You think about your testimony. You think about things. You try to work hard to do things right, and it just seems like at the end of the day, it's just not coming out. Well, the Lord really laid this on my heart maybe in a different way. I think we'd probably refer to this a lot as most often maybe as the Lord's Prayer. But I think it's a template to prayer that we need to follow. Not necessarily that you just recite it as it is. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But do you think reciting this just as it is going to cover the petitions that you have? You think about all the things that you're going through in your life. I think this is a template, a outline of how we're supposed to approach God and how we're supposed to ask Him and realizing who He is. But I think we're supposed to fill in those blanks in the middle with our petitions. He made it appropriate. He made it possible. That we would have a way to approach the throne boldly. And that's something that He gave to us that He didn't have to do. But He allows us to have interaction with Him in such a special and an intimate way that He actually wants us to use it. He intends for us to use it. I think sometimes maybe we don't do things that we don't know how to do, or we're afraid to do, or we're shy to do. But you know, the Lord will give us a template here. And then He also gives us an example, much like last time. It's amazing how I've seen that so many times in the Word of God, and just maybe this year recently seen how He will give us a template, and then He'll give us an example, and then He gives us the outcome. And the Lord doesn't leave us hanging. He lays things out here. So we'll read these verses, and we'll pray, and we'll get started tonight, and then we'll have our time of prayer being our prayer time service. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples." You see, they observed some things from John, and now they're saying, "Lord, we want You to teach us too. We're Your disciples. Teach us," is what He's saying. "And He said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and he will give him as many as he needeth. And I said unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will ye give him a stone? Or if he ask of a fish, or for a fish give him a serpent? Or shall he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give thee Holy Spirit unto them that ask him? Let's pray. Lord, we again thank you for this day, the privilege to be here. I'm so thankful, God, for all your blessings and all that you do for us. I'm thankful for your word. God, just what you've laid before us here to study, to meditate on tonight. God, I just pray that you bring it out. God, I can't. I'm unworthy, unable. God, I know that. But God, that's how you work. You work through people, God, and just want to be a willing vessel, God, not a leaky vessel, but a willing vessel to you, Lord. And I thank you so much, Lord, for those that are here tonight, able to come out, Lord. And I just pray that you give them a very special blessing, Lord. Whatever it might be that they're seeking tonight, Lord, I pray that you give answers to them, God, some comfort to them, peace of mind, direction, God. Lord, that's why we seek your word, why we should be seeking it, Lord, that we can know it and follow it and just have better guidance from you, Lord. God, I pray for all the objects, Lord, that will be mentioned tonight, so many. God, we miss those that are out and sick, Lord, and been in the hospital and facing just very severe illness, God, and sicknesses, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. Just so many in the church, God, we pray for them. And God, I ask that you help them, Lord. God, I pray you go with us tonight. Thank you for all your blessings, and thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the church, God. And ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I kind of, you know, a lot of times when I find pages that have a lot of red on it, I'll be honest with you, I usually just kind of skip down and go to the red because I know who said that. But you can get a lot of context also on those pages from the black writing, the regular writing there, the black and white, and see what it says. And so how did this prayer come to us? How did it come to be written? How did it come to be written down for us to know? And we find that answer here in a chapter or verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And the first thought that I had when I read that is, how amazing would it have been to get off somewhere to the side and hear Jesus Christ pray? Have you ever really thought about that? I have in so many ways, but maybe you think about the Garden of Gethsemane and some of the different instances where it talks about him in prayer, but to actually hear him pray and be present, that is where this comes from. It came from this question that was being asked. And you can stop and slow down and read a little bit. And it came to pass that as he was praying, the first thing that I see here, it says in a certain place. So that's kind of neat. I think what we've grown accustomed to, I have, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're busy, you've probably come to terms with this or find this. You're usually probably, maybe I'm wrong, but how many of us are doing something else while we're praying? How many of us are doing something else? And I've said this, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but there's a difference in a conversation and I think prayer. You know, a lot of times, and I've said it, I do it, you probably do it, throughout the day as you're going about your business, as things come to mind, people that ask you to pray about things and what have you, probably things come to mind what you're doing as you're washing the dishes, doing the work at your workplace, shoveling, raking, whatever it is you're doing. You're maybe in the back of your mind, you're praying. You're doing two things. You're multitasking. You're doing two things. You say, well, I'm busy. You know, I kind of got to do this. I kind of got to pray on the way to work. There's nothing wrong with that. I kind of got to pray while I'm doing this because I'm busy. I'm doing things. But see, what I see here and what jumped off the page at me here is that he was in a certain place. And one of the things that if you read multiple times that Jesus was praying, I think that was the only thing really that he was doing. He was focused on that task. I think that was the most important thing. See, Jesus knew the importance of that. You think about him knowing what it's like in heaven, knowing how powerful his Father is. He knows who he's talking to. I mean, he can see that. You see, you and I, we kind of get in our mind, we kind of think about it. What does that look like? Jesus knows. He knows. He knows what the throne looks like. He knows the powerful one that sits on the throne. You see, he sees that. So when he goes to pray, he takes it very seriously. He gets to a certain place. He gets a place to himself. But you see, thankfully, what it says here, the disciple let him finish in his prayer. He let him finish. He said, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I've heard it said, and I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, this is how my mind works. I was thinking about, you see a preacher, the Spirit of God all over him. I was like, boy, I wish I could preach like that. Boy, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could do like that. But you see here, I think that is exactly what this disciple was thinking to himself. Boy, I wish I could pray like that. I wish I had that kind of power, you see. I wish I had that kind of unction. I wish I had that kind of heart. When you see the Spirit on somebody, it's a very attractive thing spiritually, not worldly. I think the world can take note of it, but I think it's very attractive to the Spirit. The Spirit knows the Spirit. And it's a very unifying thing. It's a very powerful thing. And I see that he caught attention here. Jesus caught his attention with his praying, and he gives him an answer. He doesn't leave him hanging. He says here, and it says, and he said unto them, he's teaching his disciples, he's teaching them, he's saying unto them, when you pray, say this. Now I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with saying this. There's nothing wrong with saying it exactly like it is. But I'm telling you, the Lord knows your heart, and it'd do you and I the very best just to go ahead and talk to him like we need to talk to him. Not try to use big words, not that we would. I'm telling you, I've seen it different places. I think sometimes when people get asked to pray, they try to plan all these things out and have something to say. I understand planning and what have you, but the thing about it is, if you're really praying to God, it doesn't matter all this extra. He knows what's coming straight from here to there. That's what he's hearing. Everything else is for everybody else. If you're really praying to him, that's who you need to be focusing on. And I tell you, there's nothing wrong with getting down to business too. It doesn't have to be all day and all night. It could be sometimes, but it don't have to be. It don't have to be exhaustive words and all these kind of things. But there's a way that you're supposed to address him here. And I see this plainly laid out. He says here, the first thing he says, our Father. Our Father. Isn't that something to be able to say? Our Father. You look up the definition of a father, that's one who feeds and supports or exercises paternal care. That's somebody who takes care of their children. Isn't that a blessing? That's the first descriptive word that you get from Jesus. He's saying, our Father, remember who he is. Remember who he is. See, to Jesus, you know, I think with him, he can look up and when he was praying, he can look up and he can say, I know who I'm looking at. And he knows the power of that. You know, I thought about this too. You know, sometimes there's people that maybe didn't grow up with a father. You know, that's one thing you got to think about. I mean, there's all kinds of different situations in life, and we could let things hinder us or hurt us or slow us down, use it as excuses, or it maybe just really hurt us. But one of the things that's really interesting about this right here, too, in Psalm 68:5, it says, he is a father of the fatherless. Even if you don't have a physical father, you can still have a spiritual father in heaven. See, he didn't leave anybody out. You know, I know it would be hard growing up without a father, hard growing up without a mother, or those people that you need in your life. But you see, God, our Father, will fill those needs if you will let him. He will step in. He is a father of the fatherless. He knows how to love people. He knows how to take care of people. And he knows exactly what's going on in our hearts tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, giving him place where he's at. Again, thinking about this. See, Jesus sees this. When you think about him praying, this is his words. He can mentally, physically, actually see this because he knows what it looks like. You and I do this by faith. But he's putting it in our minds. He's saying, remember here our Father which art in heaven. Let's remember who he is. We're not just asking somebody out here for help. We're not trying to say things pretending that it's going to God, but you really hope somebody in the crowd will hear it. You see, a lot of these prayers that you hear, he was alone. It was one-on-one. You see, it actually just happened here. The disciples overheard him, but see, he was in a certain place. Many times he would get off to himself to pray, a prayer closet, and that is such a wonderful thing to do. Just sometimes, don't you just want to know that God's going to lay his hands on something and take care of it himself? Don't you want to know that? Brother Nathan, I'm so afraid sometimes I'm putting my hands on it and mess it up. But I get impatient. I do. I get fleshly. I get impatient. And if somebody, if you feel like somebody's wronged you, you sometimes like, I just want to handle this myself. You know, I'll ask for forgiveness. That's what a lot of people do. No. Why not let him handle it right the first time? We get impatient. You know, some of these answered prayers, it might take a long time. But he's saying, you just wait. You just wait. Again, reminding us who he is and where he is at. And he's saying, hallowed be thy name. Consecrated is his name. Set apart. There is no other name like God. There's no other name like Jesus, but there's no other name like God, just remembering who he is. Do you believe that he can help you with every single aspect of your life or no? Last week we had a special prayer, a prayer for the afflicted, a prayer of faith. You know, I tell you, I believe that he can heal that. I believe he can do that if it's in his will. I believe that. I'm afraid if we're not careful, we lose sight of what he can do, thinking that, wait, it's in me to do it. I don't know if I can do it or not. It don't matter if you can do it or not. I pretty well tell you, for the most part, probably you can't. But he can. Thing about it is, it might not be the way that we want it to be or the way that we plan it to be, but he can. That's what he's saying here. He's reminding us who he is, reminding us of his name. You think about Jehovah Jireh and all the different Jehovah titles. Jehovah Jireh means the provider, the one who can provide. There's no better person to go to. There's no better place to go to than the one that has everything. And I'm not talking about Walmart. Not talking about Walmart right there. I mean, you think about it. If you need it, I promise you, he has it. He has it. If you need it, he has it. That's a promise that he gives to us here. And he goes on to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. You think about what heaven looks like tonight. Do you think there is one hair out of place? You think there's one angel out of place? You think, Brother Nathan, when the choir is singing, there's one note out of place? Whatever it is up there in heaven tonight, you think there is one thing out of place in heaven tonight? Anything. You see, that's God's will. That's his inhabitants. That's where he's at. You think anything's wrong up there? What's that? What was the end of that song that we were singing a little bit ago? Then I'll have everything. Can you imagine that there's a place that you don't need anything else? It's all there. God's good to us here. Don't get me wrong. But you think about going to a place where you get up in the morning, probably already be awake, but there's never a time that you say, I need to go get. Never. It's already there. It's all inclusive. It's already provided. Then I'll have everything. It is all there. You see, when it's talking about his will, what he's saying here, thy will, thy kingdom come, talking about him, his return. I'll read this in 2 Timothy real quick. You've heard this before too. It's one of the five crowns that Christians can win. If we don't get too busy in life, get too tore up in life about things, I tell you, there's something to be thinking about. 2 Timothy 4:8. It says here, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Are you actually looking for him tonight? We talk about it a lot of times, and I think sometimes we would wish it would happen. If things are going bad, we kind of want to go ahead and expedite that a little bit and say, Lord, come on, this is awful. This is just horrible. Lord, just come back and get us. Let's just get out of this place. And then sometimes maybe when things are going good, well, just wait just a minute. Let's see how this ends a minute. Wait just a minute. But for the most part, do we even think about it that way? Are we praying for His return? I know, and we should. We probably got a lot of lost people in our hearts that we want to see saved before He comes. So that comes before. See, it puts in perspective. If I think He's come, if I'm praying for His return, and that's in my mind, you know what else is in my mind? Lord, what do I need to be doing to be prepared? Who do I need to go to? Who do I need to witness to? Who do I need to help? Or what do I need to do? See, it sets all these things. It sets our priorities in order, does it not? It gives us a different light about things. If we knew He was come tonight, we'd probably be looking at things a little bit different in this second. I guarantee we would be. And He's saying again to pray for His will, to pray for His coming. And then it says here in verse number 3, it says, give us day by day our daily bread, our provision. You know, that is where everything comes from. I know we think we do a lot. We get up, we go, we do, earn money, work, do things, that kind of thing. But see, none of that would be possible at all without the air that God gives us, without the body God gives us, without the ability that He gives us, without the lack of sickness that He gives us. None of that would be possible. You're kind of stopped in your tracks. When that happens, that's when you kind of realize how needy you really are. Several years ago, right after I graduated from high school, I had back surgery and I was laid out. I couldn't walk. I had to crawl where I went several times. I had a ruptured disc and there was no standing up and walking. I couldn't sit too long, couldn't stand too long. And there for a while before surgery, I had to crawl from room to room. This is somebody who used to play basketball. And I mean, 18 years old, 19 years old. Kind of used to going and doing things. You have a different view of things. Sometimes God allows it to be that way. You kind of see how needy that you really are. But when it says here, give us day by day our daily bread, that is a reminder of where our provision actually comes from. It don't come from us or our ability. It can come from His blessing. It comes from what He allows us to do, what He gives to us, but it ain't us. And sometimes I think we can forget that and not see that. And look at verse number 4. That's a big one. That's a big one. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Have you done that? Have you forgiven everyone that is indebted to you? Now you can look at that financially and say, hey, somebody owes me money, and they're indebted to me, and I'm going to forgive that debt and not make them pay that back. But I think it also talks about physically or spiritually in life, things, offenses, I think it's what it's talking about. Somebody offended you? Have you forgiven everybody that's offended you? Because what He is saying here, what Jesus is saying here is pretty telling. He's saying this here. It says, and forgive our sins. Lord, forgive us the same way, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Forgive us how we forgive everybody else. How does that ring with you? How does that set with you? You know, because if there's somebody I haven't forgiven, that means I've locked his hands in forgiveness. That's what it means. Forgive us how we forgive others. That's a strong statement. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Well, I tell you, I think that's where a lot of these battles and divisions are right now. There's people in this world that will not forgive for nothing. If this person says this, I'll go against it even if it's right. Even if it benefits me, I'm going to go against it. I'm going to stand against it. I don't like the person that's saying it. I'm not going to forgive them. You see, that's what God is teaching. Jesus is teaching against here. He's saying here to forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And when I read this statement here, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's the thing. God cannot tempt us. God will not entice us to sin. The Bible teaches us that. He's not going to put us in a situation to try to get us to sin. Now, He will try us. That's one thing you got to remember and you got to think about. I think it's important our young people to know this. God tries you. God will try you, but the devil will tempt you. Now, if you look up the word tempt and you look up the word trial, you look up those different words there, temptation, they kind of mean the same thing if you look up the definition. A trial, a temptation. A temptation is a trial. Because I look at this and I think, well, yeah, I wouldn't want God to lead me into temptation. I wouldn't want him to lead me down the wrong path. But that goes back to what I was saying. When I want to do what I want to do, when I've had enough of a situation, when I'm at that breaking point where all the irons have been burning and I can't get those things settled, and I've been in the grind and grinding and grinding and can't settle things, and finally I'm done with it and I'm going to act out in the flesh. So that's being in a temptation state. And he's saying here, don't put me in that kind of situation. Don't put me in that state. And he won't. He won't. See, the important thing that you got to see here is what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. You see, you got to slow down sometimes. I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. Maybe a very easy or menial task that could be done seemingly so quickly takes so long to see it come together. Well, I was talking to Brandy early, just dealing with different things in life, and I know we all are. Again, I said that I was going to, like I said at the beginning, this isn't a night of woes, but I told Brandy tonight, I said, I'm just in a place that I want to know and see that God has handled this the way that he wants it handled, not the way I want it handled. I don't know, maybe you've been in that position. Maybe you're in that position now, but he's given us the opportunity to pray and for him to help us through it. But Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I think this is a companion statement that you'll see with what he's talking about in this prayer here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Guess what, guys? We don't know it all. We don't. I don't care how young we are. I don't care how old we are. We don't hold all the cards. We don't know all the things. We don't know that. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know these things. We don't know the good that's around the corner. So I'm not even saying just maybe bad things. I'm not talking negative. I'm talking about good things. We don't know what all's around the corner. We don't know how God is dealing with other people's hearts, maybe on our behalf for our situation that we hadn't even met yet. We don't know that. We can't see those things, and we don't know those things. And he's saying, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. Just like he said here in this prayer. Did he not acknowledge God in all these things? Where he's at, who he is, how his name is hallowed, the power that he has. He's acknowledging him in all of his ways. It's all right to brag on God. He's the only one worthy of it. He's the only one that you really can't brag on enough. And he's saying you're welcome to do so. Our lives should reflect that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. See, that's exactly what he is saying in that prayer. Acknowledge him. Saying, Lord, I'm afraid I'm going to mess this thing up. I can do something. It might be wrong. But how many of us want to make a situation worse than what it is? If you're in the grind and you're wanting to see some relief, you're wanting to see some things straightened out and fixed, don't you just want to see how God can fix things? And you look back on and say, I could have never done that. I didn't have the power. I didn't have the authority. I didn't have the means to do it like that. But look what he did. If we would let him do things like that in our life, it'd be a testimony for other people. Say, hey, he even helped him out. Maybe he can help me out too. A lot of times we pray and take things into our own hands and don't let God settle it. We pray and then we do. We got to let him do what he wants to do. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then verse number 7 again, be not wise in thine own eyes. Well, we're bad for that. I'm bad for that. I can be. I can dwell on something. Mom will tell you. Where's my dwellers at? We can dwell on something. We can have a plan. We can have this thing figured out. Now it's just like, who's going to do it? Let's do this. That's how it is when we dwell on things and we have things, we roll it over in our minds. Sometimes maybe we can't find an answer, but other times maybe we have it all figured out. But the Bible says here, be not wise in thine own eyes, and how we see things, we just don't know it all. We know a small fraction. You think about what God knows and put yourself beside him. That's the difference. That's the difference between his knowledge and our knowledge. And his ways are far surpassed our ways, past our understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's saying, just say, hey, just be more afraid of him than getting afraid and getting impatient and doing something that we're not supposed to do. Not getting out in front of him is what he's saying here. Now it goes on, but I'm going to stop there tonight because we've been going for a while now, but I'm going to stop there tonight. This is kind of along the lines of what we've been going through on Sunday school, talking about prayer, and I think it's important, extremely important, but I'm going to stop there because it's too good just to rush through it. I don't want to rush through something that's that important, and it's all that important. I wonder tonight.